whenever you're ready.
Are you sure this time?
I was sure I wasn't ready last time.
You told me we were going.
We were, and then you were like, oh, fuck, I got to find a tagline. So
and
I
found
thought,
one in 30 seconds. By then, you weren't going anymore. What's up? This is Movies on Up. Right now, you are nowhere in control. I'm Dave, joined by my controlling co-host, Ryan.
No, you're absolutely in control this time. I'm hands off, man.
Yeah, I'm driving this ship. We are Movies on Up.
I'm like the sidekick this episode.
Tagline for this week, right now, you are nowhere in control. If you know what movie that's from, email us, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or tweet us at moviesonup on the Twitter. If you are correct and we pick you, you will get the glorious, infamous Movies on Up amazing prize pack.
Newly redesigned for 2015.
Yeah, brand new. New content compared to last year's. Black Hat's coming out this week, the Chris Hemsworth, Michael Mann movie. So we decided we have no ideas, and often we don't have ideas. So this week we're doing favorite movies starring current Marvel Cinematic Universe stars that they made after they were Marvel superheroes?
Something like that, pretty succinctly. What do you say that? It's a lot of words, but I know what you mean.
Yeah. Dudes that played a Marvel hero after they played a Marvel hero. Or people that played a Marvel hero after they played a Marvel
Could
hero.
Could be dudettes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt like it was sort of implied in your directions that when you say Marvel movie, that you mean Marvel Studios.
I said MCU. Marvel Cinematic Universe movies, which is the current.
Yeah, I didn't do that. I did Marvel movies because that's what I wanted to do.
See, I was very strict with my rules.
I knew you would be.
I stayed just Marvel movies, movies that they did after their movies.
Yep, that I did that.
And there was one other rule I followed. Like, I didn't count Edward Norton.
Because he's not current.
Yeah, or Eric Bana. Like, I did just anything after that. I didn't do the, like, Andrew Garfield or Michael Fassbender stuff.
I did for a couple reasons. One, I wanted to. Two, I figured it would pretty much assure that we don't have any crossover. And three, to be perfectly honest with you, when I was a kid growing up, I like superheroes, but I was always more of an X-Men guy. So I kind of wanted to look at X-Men. So I have, out of my five, four are X-Men.
Well, that would have been a lot easier because of that cast, Nicholas Holt, J-Law, Fassbender, McAvoy.
Yeah, like, but it's movies.
I could have done just the five from the cast of First Class.
It's movies after, and I have only one of those actors that you just mentioned. So put that in your smoke and pipe it.
So let's get to it. Your number five movie starring a Marvel superhero after they were a Marvel superhero.
Now, my number five seemingly fits, actually, not even seemingly, it fits your list, but it also fits my list because before Chris Evans was Captain America, he was Johnny Storm. So that's why I put him on my list at number five for his 2012 joint, The Iceman. That's right, The Human Torch was in the movie called The Iceman, directed by Ariel Vorman, starring Michael Shannon, the aforementioned Chris Evans, and Winona Ryder. It's not really a Chris Evans flick. It's absolutely 100% Michael Shannon, who's playing Richard Kuklinski, who was a real-life, not necessarily a crazy killer, but very businesslike, very, very scary kind of killer who had this whole other family life that, by all accounts, really loved his kids and really tried to keep those two things separate. And it's kind of interesting to see how this movie unfolds and the two lives kind of collide with each other. He ends up sort of working with Evans's character,
Mr. Freezy,
who drives around in an ice cream truck. And he's, for everything that Kuklinski isn't, they call him the Iceman for a reason because he's kind of stoic. Nothing really seems to, no emotion. He's very robotic, very businesslike. Mr. Freezy is a little bit more of a loose cannon, definitely has more charisma. And I really liked Evans in the role where he was kind of a sidekick, kind of an adversary. I think that the story is very, very interesting. I didn't know a whole lot about Kuklinski before. But again, being a being a biopic, you can go find out about the actual guy. And I don't think the movie was necessarily anything spectacular or phenomenal, but it seems like Shannon gave a really spot on performance, you know, from the things that I have read and seen about the real Kuklinski. He was able to kind of, and Shannon can go a couple ways. He can go way over the edge, completely off the leash General Zod, or he can be the Iceman. And I think he did it, played the role to a T.
Yeah, this is also my number five. So
really?
You did that to avoid crossover. And
some bitch.
This movie, I wanted to be better. Michael Shannon as Richard Kuklinski should be an Oscar movie, but it came out in like middle of summer, so that kind of squashed that notion. Kuklinski is one of the most like fascinating people ever. He did HBO did a documentary that was just like Interview with the Killer that was basically 2 hours of just interviewing him, and it's scary. Like, it's one of the scariest things you'll ever see. Because he was a family man. His wife had an idea maybe he was involved in with some people that he shouldn't be involved with, but no idea that he was killing dozens of people a year and so cold about it. And just Iceman came from not having a care in the world about what he was doing. James Franco shows up. Ray Liotta's really good in this movie. Chris Evans I really liked because, you know, he's very similar to Kuklinski. He's kind of doing his own thing on his own, and then you get the two of them together, and you get, you know, Mr. Freeze's.
They both operate very differently.
Very differently, but yet complement each other well. Like, Mr. Freeze has different ways of doing it, and Kuklinski
yes,
has...
Yes, he does.
Iceman has no qualms just pulling a gun, shooting somebody in the face. Freeze's a little more subtle, so you mix the two of them together. It was a good movie. It should have been great. And that's my biggest beef about it, but it was good enough to be my number five movie starring a Marvel superhero after they were a Marvel superhero.
My number four movie about a Marvel super starring a Marvel superhero after he was a Marvel superhero is my first X-Man, and it is an actor that you like an awful lot, and I like him too. I especially liked him in 2012's Bachelorette. It's James Marsden. Leslie Headlands directed that, starring Kirsten Dunst, Isla Fisher, and Lizzie Kaplan. There's a lot of movies that I could have picked from Marsden after he first put on the visor about 15 years ago. I like Sex Drive an awful lot. Death at a Funeral is really good. And Robot and Frank, I think we just talked about on a list maybe a month or two ago. I feel like we've kind of given enough love to all of those. And I think I've mentioned Bachelorette before, but I feel like it's kind of the ugly stepsister to Bridesmaids. And I like Bridesmaids. Don't get me wrong. I think I just like the collective cast much better for Bachelorette. So I think maybe that's why I like it more. I think Lizzie Kaplan has a couple scenes in that movie that, as much as Melissa McCarthy crushes hers in Bridesmaids, I think she does the same thing here. And I think maybe as an added bonus, you give me two guys that I think
Adam
are really
Scott.
Funny. Yeah, exactly. Marsden and Adam Scott. I love those dudes. And there's a little bit of things for the male characters to do in this movie. So I kind of like that. I don't recall laughing as hard consistently during Bridesmaids as I did during Bachelorette. And that could be, and probably is, just a taste thing. But I thought that movie was so good. And I don't necessarily love Kirsten Dunst, but I thought she was pretty good in it. Lizzie Kaplan, I love in just about anything. She was phenomenal. I like the cast is sort of an ensemble. I think that it has many of the same ingredients. It shares many of the same ingredients that Bridesmaids has. I just can't necessarily figure out why one of them, at least to my perception, is much more successful than the other. I feel like if you like one, you'll probably like the other one too.
And I feel like Bachelorette was a little bit more well made, like cohesiveness. And I mean, they were terrible people, but I enjoyed Bachelorette. My number four, just a movie from last year that made a lot of people's year-end favorites. It didn't even get mentioned in our year-end. It stars Captain America. It is Bong Joon-ho's Snowpiercer. Captain America on a train trying to get from the back to the front. I didn't love this movie the way most people seem to love this movie. I thought it had cool moments. I think the tunnel scene was fantastic, and if it were more moments like that, It's just something about the movie. I enjoyed it enough, but I didn't love it. Chris Evans, not one of his better performances. Like, he was well enough, except in the scenes that he needed to be better than well enough, and he wasn't even quite well enough in those. I love Chris Evans as an actor. I think he's done some really cool things. But Snowpiercer, you would think would have been lower on my list than number four. Like, it probably would have just made it at number five if I had to redo this. But, I mean, it's worth a watch, and I like Chris Evans. I'd like to see him do more stuff like this, which I think that's where his career is going. Because this is, it's not a safe movie by any means. It's not, he could go in and cash in on other action movies or rom-coms and stuff. But to go,
this
and,
is neither.
This is neither, by far. To go and do something like this, I think was really cool of him. And I mean, it's the movie's good enough. It's good enough to watch. Maybe if it shows up on the cable channels, I'll rewatch it again. But it didn't blow me away like it seems to blow most people away.
I mean, I think the story, there's definitely something there, but I think he underdelivers. And I think that, I don't want to point the finger entirely at him, but I really think that where, like you said, where the movie lags, where there is kind of that revelation of his character and his interaction with another character from the beginning of the movie, that scene should have been a lot more than it was, and I can only blame him for it not getting there.
There's a few scenes that really needed his A game, and they didn't really get it.
I feel like they got any. I feel like he wasn't playing.
No, they got
DNP,
like, his
coach's
D game.
Decisions,
and it's disappointing because he gets this rap of not really being a good actor, and you know, he's not asked to do much with Captain America, but the dude can act. Like, he may make my list a little later, but it's,
I'm
something,
surprised this isn't just five Chris Evans movies.
It's three. But it's three.
Two down.
He can act. Like, something like Sunshine, where he just destroys it. He was the first McAvoy turn, really, and I loved him in that movie, and he does really good stuff in other movies. But I feel like this is one that most people have seen, so they're right about him. And like, this is the movie that proves everybody right when it's, I think, the worst presentation of
if
his
ability. If you're
going to
watch
ability.
A Chris Evans sci-fi movie where most people on Earth are cold, you should watch Sunshine instead.
Yes.
Take that. And my number three, from here on out, we're sticking quite firmly at the X-Mansion. And we are going to a guy that is probably of all, at least I feel like, of all the comic book heroes, he's probably the poster child because he's done it the most. There should be some kind of like golden sideburns available for Hugh Jackman in Denis Villeneuve's Prisoners from 2013, starring Jackman, Jake Gyllenhaal, Terrence Howard, and Paul Dano. I went back and counted. I may not have counted correctly, but I think since 2000, when the X-Men movie came out, he's played Wolverine something like seven times, and he's got another two that are already announced. I loved The Fountain, and I loved The Prestige, but I've talked about those two, so I did want to maybe not necessarily harp on those. And I even liked Les Mis. I thought he was really good in that, too. But I know I've mentioned this movie before, and I think actually you mentioned it last week, your kid abduction movies. You had one that might still make your list. That's why I'm not really.
It didn't. Oh, it doesn't
okay.
Follow the rules.
Oh, fair enough.
Well, it technically would have. Yes, it would have. Yeah. But it didn't make my list.
Fair enough. But I thought that the performances in this one are really, really good. Jackman and Terrence Howard are phenomenal, the dads that have lost their daughters. But I thought Paul Dano was really excellent in this. All the signs are pointing to him, but he's able to kind of put that seed of doubt that, well, maybe it wasn't him. And I think that a lot of his performance, to me, was kind of straight out of the Stanley Tucci Lovely Bones playbook, which, I mean, if you're going to play a creeper, Tucci's a great guy to study because he did it phenomenally in that movie. I like Paul Dano. I think he's really, really good. And when given some meat to work with, I thought he was phenomenal. Wolverine, perhaps at his most animalistic in this movie, I think he goes far more over the edge than he ever does as Wolverine. A lot of good performances in it. It's a movie that maybe you can kind of see the ending coming about 6 miles away, but I still think it's kind of worth it to watch the characters get to where they go.
And one thing you didn't even mention, and I harbored this last year is I feel like Gyllenhaal was an Oscar-worthy performance in this. Like, I thought he was fantastic in this.
It's hard to find somebody, Viola Davis, it's hard to find somebody in this movie that doesn't perform.
Mean, everything you said about Dano was accurate. Like, he was phenomenal in this, but just something about Gyllenhaal in this I loved. And
his tats.
His tats, like, just his character. Like, I would read a biography of that character's backstory just because it's so fascinating. Like, he's just a missing child detective with a neck tattoo. Like, how do you end up there? But he was really good. This movie, not as good as it maybe should have been. I mean, that director had another Gyllenhaal movie this year, Enemy, that was pretty good. But, I mean, Prisoner's good. I can't argue that other than it didn't follow the rules. But I'll give you that one.
It's a Marvel movie.
My number three, not one of the main Marvel superheroes. It's a sidekick because what would Iron Man be without Jarvis? So I went with Paul Bettany. And though Legion technically came out after Iron Man, I did leave it off the list because I feel like I've talked about Legion enough. So I am talking about 2012's Blood, directed by Nick Murphy, written by Bill Gallagher, who adapted the screenplay from his own miniseries. I'm a sucker for stories about cops doing bad things. And even more of a sucker for cops doing bad things and then having to investigate said bad things, like Low Winter Sun, the Mark Strong series on FX on AMC last year. I really liked. Blood is like that kind of story, just more condensed, starring Paul Bettany, Mark Strong, Stephen Graham, and Brian Cox. Really cool movie, just about two brother cops who maybe do something, maybe not right. And then they're not only forced to live with it, but they're forced to find out who did this terrible thing. And it's a really cool character study. Like, Paul Bettany is really, really good. And I love Paul Bettany. Like, not just Legion and Priest type Paul Bettany. Like, I think Paul Bettany's a really good actor. I cannot wait to see him as Vision in Age of Ultron. I think he is just going to destroy it and knock it out of the park. Paul Bettany is just so compelling on screen to me.
I don't think he's really going to have to do very much, in fairness. And he's playing an android.
Yeah, but he's still going to be cool. I just like Paul Bettany. He does cool as just Jarvis's voice. I think he's I really like Paul Bettany. And this movie is Paul Bettany. It's Mark Strong, two of my favorite actors out there, going head-to-head. And Brian Cox, who, talk about underrated. That dude is one of the best actors for such a long damn time. And he's one of his better performances in this movie. I believe it's on Netflix. If you want to watch a movie about a couple cops doing bad things, Blood is highly recommended. This is what the last season of The Killing should have been. But it wasn't. So instead, save yourself the 8 hours of watching the last season of The Killing and watch Blood.
My number two could be a movie about a cop doing bad things, but it's not. It is directed by Danny Boyle. It is starring a superhero, just not that superhero. It's James McAvoy. After he was Professor X, he was in a little film from 2013 called Trance with Rosario Dawson and Vinny Castle. In fairness to this movie, I'm sure that between the two of us, if Dave would slack off about his rule bullshit, that of James McAvoy movies that came out after First Class, I think we'd both probably rather have
this top two.
Filth and maybe Welcome to the Punch on there.
This would be above Welcome to the Punch.
Okay, fair enough. At any rate, I feel like this would be a pretty okay third choice. I think it's absolutely a welcome back, Danny Boyle, after Slumdog and 127 Hours, which are good movies.
Good movies, but they weren't the Danny Boyle that I love.
Right, like not necessarily the Danny Boyle that we all kind of came to love throughout the early to mid-90s, but definitely back in a big way with Trance making a very Danny Boyle movie, and a movie that I think it's like an onion. You know, you keep peeling the layers away, and the further you get to the center, like you see the events surrounding this art heist so many times, and every time you take another pass through it, you get a little more, you get a little more. And I think that every layer, it's still a surprise every time you see kind of the new revelation. It's a really, really well-made movie. The story's tremendous. And I think that you could easily have a dumpster fire of a movie trying to make that story on film, but I think Boyle does a phenomenal job.
I feel like Boyle might be the only director out there that could make this movie. Like, Christopher Nolan could maybe pull it off, but he'd have dumbed it down a little bit. I think
it would have been real obvious.
I think it's a fantastic movie because it's not what you expect. And, like, people's biggest complaint about Sunshine is that it takes a turn that you don't expect. I'm maybe in the minority, but I like not knowing what's coming next. And I like being taken for loops and stuff. And Trance does so even more than Sunshine did, I think. Like, Sunshine turns into a completely different movie. Trance stays the same movie, but just goes nowhere near where you expect it to go.
Every time you think you have it figured out, like,
you don't.
Yeah, you don't. Sometimes I think that the movie is maybe a little bit weird, too weird for its own good. It did seem like some things...
But it all comes together.
Yeah, it does. But I think some of the smaller or things that should have been maybe smaller in the movie were way exploited. Not that it necessarily is a bad thing, but
yeah,
I guess it felt a bit gratuitous at times.
Yeah, but I mean, it was still a good movie. I love it. I love Danny Boyle. I want more of this from Danny Boyle. I mean, Danny Boyle has directed two of my top three favorite movies of all times, and this was return to that form. Like, it was one of my favorites of last year, and it was top two James McAvoy movie for me last year, and I love it.
Good year for Max.
My number two stars Captain America himself, Chris Evans, star of Sunshine. I actually had to go to Box Office Mojo because it came out in 2011, the same year as Captain America,
to
the first Avenger.
Came out after in 2011?
Because on his IMDb page, it's listed before it, but it actually came out 2 months later in the States. So I'm not going by its Thailand release date. I'm going by its U.S. release date. It is 2011's Puncture, starring Chris Evans. Based on a true story, I mean, this is his movie. Much like Snowpiercer, it was his movie, but there was a good supporting cast with Jamie Bell and among others. This is a Chris Evans movie. This is him as a lawyer with a drug problem. Small-time lawyer gets brought a case of a lifetime and... It's a David and Goliath law drama. It says it right there on its IMDb page. That's movies like this are kind of, I don't want to say a dime a dozen. They're hit or miss. The small guy versus the big corporation could go either way. Chris Evans is so damn compelling in this movie because he is taking on a major health supply corporation about faulty needles while being addicted to drugs himself, just can't do anything right. He has the ability. He has the lawyering skills to make this.
It's a bit like Chris Evans, the actor.
Yes, except you wouldn't know that from watching this movie because this movie is the type of performance I wanted in Snowpiercer. He is damn near flawless in this movie. He's a terrible human being, but you could see the promise there and you want him to do well. Like, he doesn't deserve to succeed, but you want him to be successful. And, I mean, the story's good. The story's, it's good enough. His performance takes it up a level. And this is the movie I want people to see when they talk about Chris Evans not being able to lead a film. Performance-wise, this definitely, maybe movie-wise, maybe Snowpiercer's the better movie. But as far as Chris Evans carrying a movie and putting it on his back, this is his movie, 100%. The supporting cast, about seventh build, you get Jesse L. Martin and Vanessa Shaw, which are, I tend to know a lot of actors' names, and those are the first two, like, recognizable after Chris Evans. It's a good movie that I feel like went unnoticed, went underappreciated, and I just don't think many people have seen it, but Puncture is really, really good.
My number one. It stars a guy who I think I'm going to make it doesn't really star. He's in this movie. He's barely even a superhero, but he is. I don't want to say he's barely in this movie, but he is. But I do want to make a statement that I think of all the people that we've talked about, I think he's the best actor. And I think he has it was the hardest for me to pick one movie out of his post X3 career, I believe, which is where we get our first introduction to to Warren Worthington, portrayed by Ben Foster. I picked James Mangold's 310 to Yuma from 2007, starring Russell Crowe, Christian Bale, who may have played a superhero once or twice himself, and Ben Foster. I mean, I guess I could really make the argument that Foster was also in the Thomas Jane, the first Punisher movie. He wasn't a hero in that one, but he was in a Marvel movie, whatever. It's like Jarvis. I guess you could make the same argument. He didn't play a hero until 2006 in X3. Since then, he's done Rampart, The Messenger, Kill Your Darlings, Ain't Them Body Saints, which wasn't a great movie, but he was phenomenal in it.
That's basic.
And
you
Lone
could
Survivor.
Say that What's that?
And Lone Survivor.
You could say that about any Ben Foster movie. Is he doesn't always make the best movies, but he's great in everything.
I think Rampart and The Messenger were really good. I feel like The Messenger, probably of the two, is probably
carried that one.
Yeah, that's a bit more well known. That's a bit more of a mainstream flick. Not to say that 310 to Yuma wasn't. It's just one that I don't think that we've really talked about, maybe ever. It's a remake of the 1957 Glenn Ford flick that I think manages to be one of the few remakes that is actually better than the original. I don't love Westerns, and I think that a lot of Westerns are, you know, they're action, and that's great. What I love about 310 to Yuma is sort of the suspense that kind of builds, and maybe it's just because there is that element of 310, like everything is going to be kind of settled by 310, one or the other. Either Christian Bale is going to get Russell Crowe on the train, or he's not, or Ben Foster and the guys are going to come shoot everybody up and rescue him. I guess it's a bit like one of my favorite Westerns is High Noon, and again, that's kind of centered around a gunfight at noon. You know it's coming, and you kind of things keep mounting against our hero, who's in this one, Christian Bale, is just kind of a farmer who's trying to prove to his like bratty son or nephew or something, Logan Lerman, that, you know, he's a bit more than just a rancher. And in order to do that, he takes some money to basically make sure that the most violent outlaw leader of this gang gets on this prison train to Yuma. And I think it's really, really a great movie that doesn't necessarily. I think sometimes people maybe don't like Westerns because they don't really like the genre and they're not into cowboys and all of that. And I can understand it. If it's not your cup of tea, it's not your cup of tea. But this just feels like a really, really good drama. There's action in it. You know, there's some gunfights, of course. But it's the suspense and it's the drama that I think really carry this. And I think Bale and Crowe together really balance each other really, really well. Maybe specifically Russell Crowe. He's kind of able to play both sides of the same character. I mean, he's the leader of this outlaw gang who shoots up a train and kills people. But on the other hand, you can kind of see some redeeming qualities about him. Foster, on the other hand, is just kind of a dick throughout the whole movie. A bit of a scumbag, maybe a psychopath as well. And he's definitely the bad guy, although Crowe's character is kind of positioned as the bad guy. But, you know, maybe there's a little bit more to him, and I think that Crowe does a great job of showing that in this.
I almost want to do an episode of favorite Ben Foster performances.
Yeah.
Because, like, even a movie like Alpha Dog. Alpha Dog wasn't a good movie. Man, Ben Foster was awesome in that movie. Like, Hostage. Hostage, not a great movie. Man, was Ben Foster awesome.
That's
in that
what
movie.
I mean. Like, we've talked about it. I mean, Chris Evans, you know, can be a good actor. McAvoy does some great things. I'm not even sure that it's close.
I think one of the only terrible performances from Ben Foster was X3, and I don't fault him for that because that was such a train wreck.
He wasn't really doing that much
in it.
He
didn't do anything.
Exactly. But I think that he's the best actor that we have on this list, and I was so kind of happy that by the time I got on my X-Men kick, I was like, oh, shit, I'm going to put Ben Foster at number one. And I'm going to be really proud of myself for that.
I can't complain. I mean, I know. I love Ben Foster.
I knew you would like it.
Flash Forward as a kid, his Canadian tween sitcom series. Like, I loved Ben Foster. My number one, I'm going back to a sidekick, and it's a replacement sidekick from Iron Man 2. I went from Don Cheadle in 2011's The Guard. Not a Don Cheadle movie. He's second billed to Brendan Gleeson, deservedly so, but man. The movie's directed and written by John Michael McDonough. You know, his brother wrote and directed In Bruges, which I loved. He did Calvary this year. I love these McDonough boys. I absolutely do. The Guard is up there with me, within Bruges for me. I love In Bruges. It was my favorite of that year. This of 2011, I know it was pretty high. I'd say probably top three or four of me for that year. Love the movie so much. Brendan Gleeson is just a joy to watch all the time, but something about working with John Michael McDonough just brings out even more. His character in this, completely different than Calvary. He was a priest in Calvary, a really good guy. This, pretty opposite. He's just a cop who's really not that great of a person. Nobody likes, hard to like, but man, is he fun to watch in this. Don Cheadle comes in as the perfect counterbalance. I mean, it's your typical story trope of unconventional Irish police officer with an uptight FBI agent to force to solve a crime. But it's not your typical buddy movie like that. It's really, really good. The dialogue, both those McDonoughs just write amazing dialogue. And when you have somebody like Brendan Gleeson delivering it, it just elevates it that much more. And Don Cheadle, really, really good in this movie. I love The Guard so much. I could not put it on. Plus, he's really good as War Machine. I think he's really... I missed him in The Avengers. I'm glad. I'm pretty sure he shows up in Age of Ultron. And I'm happy for that because I think he's crucial to those movies. I think he was one of the highlights of Iron Man 3. I just really like Don Cheadle in that role.
I gotcha. Are there any that you kind of left off list? Just on the outside looking in?
Just on the outside looking in was the ScarJo trifecta of Hitchcock, Her, and We Bought a Zoo. I like all those movies, but I don't know if I like them more than any of the five I picked. And then Cabin in the Woods I left off just because it was filmed before he was ever cast as Thor. It came out after, but just interesting because I think the whole reason I want to do this episode is about Chris Hemsworth. He's got Black Hat coming out this week. I think Chris Hemsworth is having the best non-Marvel career of him between Rush and he's got In the Heart of the Sea coming up. Black Hat, which looks terrible, but I trust Michael Mann enough to know that it's going to be a little bit more than it looks. I just think he's poised to have the best post-superhero career.
I feel like Jeremy Renner could probably make an argument.
Yeah, he hasn't done as much post, though.
Yeah, he had a hell of a pre.
Yeah.
But, I mean, American Hustle was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, you could say Renner was who he was before Hawkeye, but Hemsworth came out of nowhere to be Thor, and he's making the most of that. Foxcatcher, I just talked about last week, so I didn't want to put it. And then Legion, I left off because I've talked so much about Legion. But those were pretty much it.
The one I left off, and if I wanted to complete and have five that were all X-Men, I would have put on Nicholas Hoult's Warm Bodies from 2012. I like that movie a lot. I've mentioned it a couple times, so that's really the reason that I decided to disband five X-Men and go ahead and do like four X-Men and a Fantastic Four. But I like Nicholas Hoult. I really wanted to like that Jack the Giant Slayer or whatever.
They made it so hard.
Yeah, that was so bad. But Warm Bodies is still, to this day, the best Zom-Com that I've seen.
And how amazing does he look in Mad Max Fury Road? Dude doesn't even look like him.
That one's got probably a tip of the cap. Early 2016 Oscar movie for best makeup. I don't know how this works. But you know how this works. If there is a person that was in a Marvel movie, if you want to tell me about like your favorite Tobey Maguire movie post Spider-Man, we'd love to hear about it. moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or at moviesonup, the Twitter handle, which will be much more active this year.
Yep. Follow me at Dave Pacella. We'll be back next week. I just closed the calendar, but I know we're back next week with something.
It'll be our favorite Johnny Depp movies.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll be back next week with our five favorite Johnny Depp flicks. This ought to be good.
Yep.
So until then,
keep it Depp.
That was it.
Yep, that's what I went for. I went for it.
You wanted me to tee you up for that.
Yep, I went for it.
All right.
And I don't regret it.